This is Channel 2.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Hey, good afternoon. Welcome to the Business Bunker Show here on channelradio.co.uk/2 and bizradio.co.uk. It's Tuesday. It's the 31st of July. It's 5 minutes past one. It's time for the Business Bunker Show. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and my absolutely gorgeous co-host...
Miss on a bike.
How are you doing?
I'm good, you?
I'm all right. I haven't seen you for a while.
Well, 2 weeks.
Yeah, exactly. That's a long time.
It is a long time for us, isn't it?
It is. I missed you.
Thanks.
Yeah, that's all right. How you been?
I've been well.
All right, yeah. You been bicycling?
Yes, was racing at the weekend.
Were you? How'd you do?
I did really well.
Did you?
Yeah, I did really well.
Go on then, talk us through it.
Well, it's nothing much to talk about, really.
What kind of race was it?
It was a time trial, 25-miler. Go as fast as you can down a dual carriageway, get to the roundabout, turn around and come back again.
Okay, how fast you do it in?
Oh, 23.9 miles an hour.
Really? Is that the average? Yeah.
That was my average, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I came second.
Did you? Wow.
I know. Stephen will be listening, he won't be too happy.
Yeah, well, was he first?
No.
Or third?
No, he wasn't. I didn't beat him, which, it won't be long. That's what I'm
going to
say.
Yeah. Only because he's not listening.
He'll kill me. No, he is, I think.
Oh,
anyway.
He is listening. Yeah.
Yeah, very funny. But no, it was really good.
Cool. Where was that?
That was Newmarket.
Right. Oh, okay.
I know, yeah. Ah,
did you have a horse as well?
I would have loved to. It's really lovely. It's a great place to do it. So, yeah. Tell us about your weekend.
I don't remember. We had friends over.
Trampoline.
And we assembled a trampoline, and my fingers are still bent.
I bet.
It's hilarious.
It's not easy, is it?
No, it's not, but it's even worse if a certain person doesn't read the instructions properly.
Did she not?
No.
Oh.
There was a tool for stretching the cover to put the springs on. So you've got the frame with the springs and the cover. And obviously the cover is really stretchy. So we're hooking the springs on and I'm getting this tool and I'm a big bloke, yeah, and I'm putting all my weight behind it and it's taking me 5 minutes to put one spring on and it's wrecking my hand and there's 58 springs to do, right? I've done 20 like that and she turns the page over and says, actually, if you put the tool on the other way around, so you put the spring on first and then stretch the spring, it's easy. And I went... And it took me approximately 8 minutes to do the other 40.
Yeah, but you're a man.
Am I?
You don't read instructions.
I was doing the work.
But you
I was doing
read
the labouring.
Anyway, so don't blame you.
Well, that's why I gave them to Amanda. I said, you read the instructions, I'll do the work. And she did read the instructions. She read them beautifully.
The only person that I've ever known to read instructions before doing anything is Jack. But then he would never open up a present. He would just open it up. He would open the present, not get excited about it, turn it over and read all the instructions.
But isn't it amazing? It doesn't matter how many times you fall foul of that, you still never do it. You never read the instructions from start to finish first before you start work. You always start to read the instructions, start to do it, and then when you turn the page over, it tells you to do something different.
Can I just love the fact we're talking about instructions and it's a business show?
Yeah, true.
It's good, isn't it?
Yeah, but, you know, we live in a flat-pack world and it's not good.
So, therefore, there's a part of the marketplace that we could have.
Yeah, well, funny enough, the company that sold the trampoline, they said, here's the instruction thing, here's some links to some YouTube videos that you can watch how to do it, and if you get really stuck, we've got a 24-hour emergency helpline that you can ring up and ask. Or, for 125 quid, we'll send someone to assemble it for you.
Yeah.
Of course, we've gone, nah, we don't need any of that.
Nice.
But it's there. It's bouncy.
Good. Good.
Yeah.
What's going on in business for you?
In business?
Yeah.
Don't even ask.
What's going on in business for you?
No, don't ask. I've had a strange weekend.
Do it. Tell us.
No, I can't because it's too confidential.
Is it really? How exciting.
Yeah. It's too confidential with somebody else, but it wasn't good.
Can you give us a gist? Can you give us a scenario that we can work through? No.
It's difficult without giving away confidential stuff, but basically it looked like one of my business was going to be evicted from the premises they were in.
Okay.
Through no fault of our own, and that would have been quite bad, but this morning they kind of saw sense.
Good.
That's about all I can say.
But how did you get through the process? Was it by influencing them to do the right thing? Was it about keeping relationships with them? Was it about heavy-handedness? How did you deal with that whole scenario?
I basically emailed them and suggested they might like to rethink what their situation was, because they would probably not do very well if they continued on the path they were continuing on.
So was that, what I mean. yeah, a gentle...
Yeah, I wasn't rude or threatening. Well, no, I wasn't rude or threatening. No. I just pointed out a whole series of things that said, have you really thought this through, basically? And clearly they hadn't. And once they had the weekend to think it through, they went, oh, yeah.
Mr. Andrews, do you look at them and think, what's their motive, what's the reason they're doing that? Or
yep.
You do?
Yeah.
Does that help you understand their behaviour?
It helps me understand. It doesn't necessarily help me solve the problem.
Interesting.
Yeah. I understood fairly soon on that basically, and I don't mean this in any kind of rude way, but the people that were doing this were very unknowledgeable about what they were doing.
Interesting.
Okay. And out of their depth and panicking.
Mm.
Yeah. And have made a series of decisions based on not thinking something through very well. So what I had to do was try and point out somebody's phone's going off.
That's
ta, 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 ta. So I had to point out not the error of their ways, but how they could go about something that was to their benefit.
Yeah.
Because they lacked experience, basically.
Yeah. And as an experienced businessman, I think that's our responsibility as well, to show somebody the pathway to making the right decision.
Yeah. Quite often, though, it all depends how you tell someone that as well, of course.
Of course.
Yeah, if you tell them in the wrong way, they'll just dig their heels in and adamantly continue to cut off their nose to spite their face just because of it.
Mm.
And you see that all the time at the moment, especially with loads of things that are happening. But it made for an interesting weekend, because at some point there, you know, I wasn't sure where I was going
to
go.
And at some point, do you think, actually, I need to get them to a point that is right for me, therefore, sometimes I just have to eat a little bit of this nonsense? Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. In this particular instance, that wasn't really the case, but I get what you're saying, and you're absolutely right. Sometimes you have to be seen to be agreeing with them to get them to change their mind.
Yeah. And
absolutely.
That's good business.
Yeah, it is.
And that's
sense.
Being kind.
Yeah. Well, one of the mistakes that people make is to start an argument before they've actually decided what it is they're trying to say.
Yeah.
And the trouble is, once you start an argument, it's very hard to get out of it. I'll tell you a funny story. Young Ben Abbott was on Amanda's show on Friday, and Ben is our Carnegie instructor. The trouble is, he gave away to my girlfriend all of my secret persuasion techniques.
That's right.
Yeah, because they're all Dale Carnegie techniques. Because he started saying, oh, we this and we that. And she kept saying, why do you do that? Paul does that all the time. And he went, yeah, that's what they teach us in Dale Carnegie, to influence people. So I'm not happy about that. But there's
it's not rocket science.
No, it's not.
And it's not secrets.
No, it's not.
It's just psychology.
But people don't use it. And coming back to your original point about how to influence someone without antagonising them, one of the Carnegie principles is to get the other person saying yes. So basically what you do is you go back to them and you say, would you like to, you know, have £1 million? Yes. Would you like to? Yeah. Yes. Okay, well, how can we bring that about? Yeah, so once they've started talking positively, you can then work out something positive. What a lot of people do is they blast in and go, the trouble with you is you're an idiot and you haven't thought about this. All you've done is cemented their position, and no matter how much you show them that they're wrong, they won't change their mind, because it's a fight now, and in a fight, nobody's wrong, if you see what I mean.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Mm.
Can I just say something?
If you want.
I love Ethelbray.
They're lovely, aren't they?
I love them. Ethelbray, we love you, my darlings. Yeah. Thank you so much. Always gifts and flowers. We love gifts and flowers.
Yeah.
Influencing people.
Because
I like that.
They sent us notebooks, didn't they, to celebrate their 30th anniversary.
20 years.
20th anniversary.
20 years of training. Mm. Not only did they do that, they sent me a lovely journal, and I will use it because they know I love journals. And they've actually put a beautiful note to me in it, which... In hand.
Handwritten.
Yeah. Which, to be honest with you, Keith and Kate, I really appreciate that. So thank you very much. It's something so simple, and we love them for that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And congratulations as well.
Yeah.
On 20 years.
Yeah.
Of changing and adapting and growing your business.
Absolutely. And funnily enough, they've done 20 years in business, and last week was their 30th wedding anniversary.
Oh, my God.
And they tweeted in from Norway, They were on a cruise of the fjords.
They did. Mm. Yeah. I'm just doing research on a title that I'm working for on a book called Why You Choose to Stay and I Chose to Leave. Right. And it's about partnerships, not right. necessarily loves, but yeah. any partnership, yeah, yeah, business yeah. partnerships, you know, why some people stay mm-hmm. in an environment and why somebody else would choose to leave that environment. I find it interesting. So we want to know how you stayed 30 years married.
Which leads me nicely into our first track. What do you reckon?
I don't know.
Wait a minute. Anyone. It's a 10cc track.
Oh, I don't know. Should I know this?
Maybe. That's all right. It's the things we do for love.
Beautiful.
See, nicely produced and set up there.
But now you're crashing the vocals then.
Sorry.
Bets and then you pay the price. The things we do for love, the things we do for love. Communication is the problem to the answer. You've got a number and your hand is on a phone. The weather's turned and all the lines are down. The things we do for love, the things we do for love. Like walking in the rain and the snow when there's nowhere. She says she wants to make up. Like walking in the rain and the snow when there's nowhere to go. When you're feeling like a part of you is dying and you're looking for the answer in her eyes. You think you're gonna break up, then she says she wants to make up.
Rift Accounting, your small business bodyguard. RiftAccounting.com.
The Networkers Networking Event, a full-day event helping business owners to understand how to network more effectively and efficiently. Three great speakers, eight of the best networking, masterminding and business support groups in Kent, and 50-plus great business owners to meet, network with and connect with. Join us at the Networkers Networking Event. It's an event not to be missed.
Don't miss the Southeast Construction Expo, the premier CPD-accredited conference and exhibition. Hear from leading industry speakers, find out about major projects, free meet the buyer and lots more. Thursday, 13th of September 2018 at the South of England Event Centre with free parking. Visit www.constructionexpouk.co.uk.
Phoenix Analysts Limited. Business consultants commissioning, procurement and quality assurance services. Helping you to get the most out of your business.
Check our website for more details. PhoenixAnalystsLimited.com.
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
Want more business in Kent? Get 12 months membership for the price of 10 when you join our supplymybusiness.co.uk Kent business community today.
This is Channel 2.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
The things we do for love, 10cc.
Yeah.
I thought you'd set that up nicely, Bud.
Thank you. I think we produce this show to the nth degree, don't you?
Within an inch of its life.
I think so.
Everybody thinks we just throw it together and hope.
We're there practicing.
Yeah.
Constantly.
Absolutely. Hmm. Yeah. And it's all worked out. Talking of which, we're at that time in the show when we're going to do something. I've no idea.
We need a jingle, don't we?
Yeah.
Don't you think?
Yeah.
Don't you think we need a jingle?
Yeah, we do need a jingle.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
Okay, so we put together, didn't we? We were talking about how can we take this show to the next point of its growth, didn't we?
Exactly, yes.
Why did we do that?
Because we got bored.
No, we didn't.
The listener did.
Well, yeah, and also you were like, I just feel like we've done... Well, how many years have you done this now?
10 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it needs to grow and adapt, doesn't
yes,
it?
Yes, of course it does, yeah.
And what we noticed was that masterminding was getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and we've got a desk full of guests here, and why not utilise their wisdom with some questions and things that happen in business all the time?
Mm.
And... that's what we thought we'd start doing now, didn't we?
Absolutely.
Because I wanted, I've always said to you, and I'm always very grateful to you for your wisdom, that you are more than happy to share, and your time. You're very, very giving. Mm. And you were like, I don't want it to be about me. So we said, well, let's make it about masterminding.
Yep, absolutely.
Okay, so here's a question for everybody. Mm. And this is just because it's, I'm seeing this unfold in this time of holidays.
Mm.
How do you, and you're going to love this because I'm the same as you, we're twins in this, how do you take a holiday from a business that is making hay while the sun shines?
Mm-hmm.
How do you do that?
Well, the trouble is, for me, I'm the wrong person to ask.
And me.
Because I don't like going on holiday.
Neither do I.
I hate holidays, and I prefer not to go. And I haven't been on holiday for, I can't remember when.
Yeah.
However... I am going on holiday this
you
year,
are.
Apparently.
You are. How will your businesses survive?
Well, I don't actually have a problem with my businesses survive. I'm in a lucky position insofar as I've set my businesses up to run without me. And there's a number of reasons for that. One, I'm lazy. Two, I've got great people that work for me. But three, with the size of business I have, you have to prepare... for where you're going to go eventually, yeah? Because although I am intending to live forever, it's not always going to happen. And at some point, you may wish to sell the business or retire or whatever. In order to do that, the business must be able to run without you. Otherwise, people aren't going to buy it from you because there's nothing to buy. Because, you know, that's the point. So, for many years now, I've set my businesses up to run without me. I'm the least useful person in my businesses. So, from that point of view, it's not a problem. Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. You can join in if you want, ladies.
How do you get on?
Not in a way.
With taking holiday with children off and things like that?
We haven't at the moment. And the same as you, I don't want to take time off because it's too precious at the moment. It's growing. And I want to be a part of it.
Mm.
And like you said, staff as well. You need good staff. And they're hard to find, so...
Oh, okay. Sorry, you're having trouble hearing her?
Yeah, cool, go on. Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Really?
Yeah, don't worry, James.
No one knows.
I didn't know if the mic was...
Good. Yeah, no, I think it's okay.
Can
cool.
you hear it?
It is echoing a bit, that's for sure.
That's probably my voice.
No.
We've started to take staff on as well, haven't we? So
you sound okay. If it isn't, swap mics with a purple mic. It could be the mic, yeah. Sorry about that, Joe.
That's all right. I can normally be heard from
you know,
miles
it just
sounds. Yeah.
Yeah, no, you didn't sound your normal dulcet self.
Can you hear it now?
Yes, perfect. Yeah, that's better. There was a problem with the mic. Sorry about that. Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. I mean, one of the things that always surprises me, people say to me... I know I'm a curmudgeon, but people talk to me about holidays all the time, and I just think, really, have you ever actually been on a holiday? You know, let's step this through. People get caught up in the whole holiday thing. When I go on holiday, you spend hours at an airport. They lose your luggage. You arrive at some half-built Algerian ruin in the middle of nowhere. You know, and people go, I'm on holiday. I'm relaxed. I'm stress-free. I'm really?
Then you've got all that washing when you get back. Yeah.
Well, I used to do a business, and the part of the prizes, if you do well in this business, was, you know, go on a cruise ship. But why would you want to go on a cruise ship? All they're going to talk about is work.
Mm.
That's not a holiday.
Well, for me, a lot of people say, yeah, but you need a break. Why? Yeah. I enjoy what I do.
Yeah.
I really enjoy what I do. Why do I need a break from it? It you know, it's like saying, if you like food, you ought to stop eating and have a break. But which is probably true, actually, but you know what I mean. So it's an interesting question, isn't it? But how do you cope with it?
Well, I do agree if you're working for someone else, but since myself and Debs have started our business, I don't feel that we need a break at all because we have so much fun and we're achieving a lot. So I'd probably miss that if I went away for 2 weeks. You'd have to come with me, Debs.
But I think if you do have a break, though, we've taken on staff now and we try to train them and our sort of work ethic and things like that, we try to you know, make sure that we get the right people on board so that we can trust
that
the business is in good hands.
It's funny you should ask that because I saw a statistic this morning that 1 in 12 people, employees, have not taken their holiday entitlement, which is interesting because it shows it's not just us as self-employed people that are doing it. A lot of employed people are now not doing their holiday entitlements.
Well, also, when you're building a business, can you afford to take yourself out of the business and lose that money that you necessarily would be making as if you're present there?
I think that is the massive thing. If you're self-employed, a micro business or an early stage startup, how can you afford to stop working? And, you know, if you work for somebody else, you get paid holiday pay. If you work for yourself, you get nothing. And not only do you get nothing, you kind of lose the momentum of what you're doing and, you know, may even lose a customer or whatever
in the process. And I don't know if people actually put that into their accounts either, that they think, wow, this by me coming out of the business for a week or 2 weeks is going to cost me, I don't know, what's your day rate, you know, and then it's going to cost me not only the cost of the holiday, but the cost of your time.
When I first started my business, my first business 30-odd years ago, and then I had small children, and what we actually did is we went on holiday at Christmas because no matter what, everybody shut at Christmas. So over the Christmas period, and also the business we were in, it was really quiet over Christmas. It was a quiet period, so we always went on holiday at Christmas time, because it, you know, for the kids' sake more than anything, because nothing was happening anyway, and most people were shut in any case. So,
and that's where I am as well. Yeah. So I'm taking a week off. Mm. Oh my goodness, that's the first week off in 5 years in business.
Where are you going?
You know where? Because he thought that Nuki was like 3 hours away.
Yeah.
Who thinks that?
I know. I wanted you to tell everyone else.
Going to Nuki surfing. But here's the funniest. We were like, where should we go when we're down there? We're like, right. I said to him, why don't we go to Land's End? It would be really good to go to Land's End.
Yeah.
He went, how far is that away? I'm like, it's a good hour and a half, 2 hours. He's like, it's Cornwall.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's how far everything is away.
Yeah.
Single roads. It's not easy travelling in Cornwall, but beautiful.
Mm.
So we're going to Nuki. So I'm really, and we're going to stay in this country for exactly what you said. I don't want to travel. I don't want the stress of travel. I don't want to get on a plane to do all that. It would be lovely when you get there, but we're done with that. We just want to stay in this country.
And currently it's hotter here than it is anywhere in the Mediterranean. So,
for sure. But it's a really interesting, and do you know what? I feel guilty for saying to some of my clients now, I'm going away for a week.
Mm.
Now, I've been living vicariously through them in the fact that they all go away on holiday, but I take great pride in consistency of my business, so I'm always here for you.
Mm.
Now I feel I'm not. It's really interesting.
Well, that's part of modern day living as well, isn't it? That we have technology now.
Yeah.
You know, we've talked about this a few times. In the UK, one of the things that we suffer from, allegedly, is low productivity, which is amazing when you consider that we're all connected 24 hours a day. I got a text, at 12:30 last night from someone asking me a business question at 12:30, you know. That is not rare. If I went away, I wouldn't switch my phone off.
No, I'm not.
I'd read my emails every day. I'd tweet every day. I mean,
too nosy.
Yeah. you know me, I'm addicted to Twitter, so I wouldn't stop doing what I do most days anyway.
But then you've prepared your environment. I've said to Stephen that, look, I will be writing every day. I will be focusing on getting this book done, and I will be just keeping the emails ticking over daily, because then I don't want to come back to a business that I've got to spend a whole day on coming back into again. I want to keep that business ticking, and actually, I can't let go of it either. I love it.
Mm.
I love it.
Mm.
So it's really interesting.
It is, and I suppose for kids and stuff, holiday is interesting. And if you're on school holidays anyway, you want to do something. But I don't know. Funnily enough, the entire concept of paid holidays was so people could go and work.
What do you mean?
Well, the whole concept behind holidays during the 19th century is so that everybody could decamp to the country and pick fruit.
Mm. Basically. Oh, yeah. Our parents did that. Yeah. Hop picking.
Yeah, hop picking and fruit picking. Yeah. That's why you had a holiday, because you go pick fruit.
Yeah.
And now, of course, we can't get anyone to pick fruit, even if you pay them. Yeah. Lots.
Interesting.
There you go. No, good question.
Thank you.
That's all right.
So that's a good look. We need this mastermind jingle to lead us in and lead us out.
Yeah,
we
do. We'll get a jingle done, I think. A mastermind jingle.
A mastermind jingle.
Yeah.
And the basic questions.
I'll sing the jingle.
Right. Oh, I see what you've just done.
Yeah.
We've got the red ones.
Yeah,
we've
got
red chairs. He's got a black chair.
I've got the mastermind chair as well, yeah.
Interesting. But I think they're questions that are functional within a business.
Yeah.
They're not going to change the business. They're not going to make a massive impact. But they're actually questions that we deal with every day.
Mm. No, absolutely. And again, you know, we were kind of discussing earlier that how people do things because they do them without necessarily rationally thinking things through. And you see that so often. People get into a mode of doing something that says, it's August, we ought to be on holiday, kind of thing, because everybody does. But the world's changed, yeah? Once upon a time, you had to go on holiday in July or August, because nowhere was open the rest of the year.
Yeah.
And Cornwall was a classic example. I had a house in Cornwall for 14 years. When I first bought the house, if you went outside the holiday period, nothing was open. Nothing.
Except the Pity Me. That was
was open, but it was just a pub, yeah. Well, and restaurant, obviously. But, you know, none of the attractions were open.
No.
Obviously, the beach cafes and everything were all closed, and the surfboard hire and all the rest of it was all closed. Yeah. After a couple of years, that stopped. And they're now open around the clock, around a year.
It's not so seasonal anymore.
It's not seasonal.
No.
Because people come at all times to do all kinds of things. So, things have changed. And, you know, there's still parts of Europe, though, like France, for instance, where everybody has their holiday in the same 2 weeks. The whole of France closes while everybody goes on holiday for 2 weeks.
They have a lunch hour, 2 hours. Everybody.
Quick game of ball.
Everybody.
Half a craft of wine.
It's good. It's siesta.
Cellar of wine, you mean.
It's fine.
Yeah, yeah.
Interesting.
Seven courses.
Yeah.
They might return to work about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, do 2 hours. And
As it should be.
Yeah, they actually live to work, don't they?
Mm.
That's right, isn't it? Rather than work to live.
Yep.
Which we do the other way around, don't we?
I've got to think about that.
Yeah.
They live to work.
Napoleon said that Britain...
No, work to live. We work to live.
Yeah.
Well, Napoleon said that Great Britain is full of... the country is full of shopkeepers.
Nation of small shopkeepers.
Yeah.
Quite right, too. And we are. And especially here in Kent, we're a nation of small businesses. In Kent, there are 76,000 small businesses and 144,000 self-employed people.
But you said something really interesting just now. And you actually said that as a startup or a small business, or just as you've got into business, there are some businesses that are really consistent in what they're doing, but they're still just not like you did. Took you 5 years, didn't it, to make money?
Four, yeah.
So you're you're not a startup anymore. You're a business that's established.
You're an established failure, yeah.
But still not able to pull out of the business and go on holiday.
No,
or
you
even
can't.
Afford to.
Yeah.
So there are these businesses that sometimes it just takes years and years with consistency, hard work, long work, to actually start to make it a commercial system.
It does depend what it is, though, doesn't it? If it's a product rather than a service or something, because sometimes the word's got to get out there about that product, and that takes a while.
And that means you've got to do different things, which is interesting, because that brings us to our first guest, yeah? See, this show is just so well put together, isn't it? Isn't it amazing how this all fits together? Because it's an absolute pleasure to welcome onto the Business Bunker Show for the first time, Mr. Stephen Connor. And Stephen, you're a classic example of this because you have a job, if you like, as well as the business that you're building.
Yeah.
In that you drive cabs.
Yeah, I'm a cab driver.
Yep.
I've been a cab driver for over 30 years, so I'm used to radio until 2010, and the company I worked for went over to a computerised booking system. Then they made a silly mistake, took the radios out, and the computerised booking system was a nightmare because it relied on mobile phone signals.
Right. Which you haven't got in your area. Stephen's from Deal, so mostly what you get is France Telecom.
Yeah, that's it. I'm Benlux.
But the interesting thing I want to point out here, you're building a business, which we're going to talk about in a moment, which is helping people with their utilities.
Yeah.
And you're building that business, but you're still cab driving as well.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that's reinforcing the point that Burb was making and the point that I was making, that even if you've been in business for a while, you might not be making the kind of steady income that you need in order to pay your mortgage and pay the bills and all the rest of it. So you have to do something about that. And so many people make the mistake of not doing that, of expecting to make a fortune within a few months of starting business, and it ain't ever going to happen.
Nope, it's not. It's the big mistake that people make. They leave their job, start a business, and then sort of like a year, 18 months later, they're back to working where they were before because
they're struggling. Yeah, they've got no income.
Yeah, you've got to have a plan of action.
Absolutely. So, tell us about the business that you're trying to build then, Stephen, and what it is you do and how you do it.
Well, I started off some years ago with a company that did utilities, and then I got introduced to commercial side, which is pays much better.
Right, okay.
And I do, I've now got my own brokerage service, an energy brokerage, which incorporates water now, because that was deregulated April 2017.
Oh, that was the other thing, Bird. I was trying to remember why my weekend was a disaster. We didn't have any water either.
What, running water?
Any water.
Well, you have water in your pool.
Yeah, but
it's more than most of us have
you
got.
You can't drink chlorinated... Well, you can drink chlorinated water, but not that chlorinated. No, the water main burst outside my house. God, sorry.
Yeah, so. That'll be domestic. That's nothing to do with me.
Yeah.
But
back in I was going to blame you as well, mate.
All right, find out where you live. Anyway, April 2017, the commercial water was deregulated, so you can buy from anybody, but it's very slow at the moment because it's a new thing.
Mm.
But a bit like when they deregulated the business energy, so it's
so what are the range of services that you can offer people?
Well, I do energy, water, telecoms,
so that's electric, gas, telecoms,
water, and they're all brokered,
right?
That's
okay,
they're all multiple supplied, they're not just one supplier,
okay. So step me through how it works. If I this is commercial as well, it's not domestic. Yeah, so it's business stuff. So if I come to you and I go, I'm paying £1 an hour for my electric or whatever I'm paying.
Yeah.
I have no idea what I'm paying. if I'm paying this for my electric, what do you do? How do you go about looking at what we're doing?
Well, first thing I do when I come to you is I get you to sign a letter of authority.
Right.
Or an LOA.
Right.
This tells your supplier that I'm acting as your agent on your behalf, and I'll be dealing with all your pricing, termination dates, any inquiries. You've got a problem with your supplier, I will be personally dealing with it on your behalf.
Right.
Then I take a copy of your bill, of your electric bill, take some details about it, the MAC number, MPNRN or MPNA, depending if it's gas or electricity. And then I go back to log into my portal, write some letters, send off. It takes about up to 30 days notification to tell, and then I become your agent. And in the meantime, I put your figures into my portal, and it spits out prices from all my suppliers.
So it gives you comparative prices.
Yeah.
Okay.
You will not get these on web comparison sites, by the way.
Right.
These are specifically for brokers.
Right. Okay.
And I'm not a web comparison site either. So.
Right. Okay. Yeah. So you can get quoted on a range of options.
Yeah. You can have 12 months right up to 5 years.
Okay. And these are with individual utilities.
Yeah.
Could you buy them in bundles as well? I'm asking that. I'm not saying that it's a good thing to do. I'm kind of trying to work out the kind of things that you might look at.
Well...
Or would it not pay you to buy them in bundles? Is it better to unbundle them is what I'm asking, I guess.
We don't do bundling.
Okay.
It's individual, depending on how your business is structured and how much you use. Mm. It's usually fixed rate.
Right.
But if you have a production line where your production is up and the production's down,
yeah.
It's called flex.
Right.
And, so if you're busy, you get charged a little rate, and if you're slow, you get charged more.
Okay.
But majority of the businesses have fixed rate.
Okay.
There are some businesses out there that are, they are on a meter point of 0-0, which is half hour rate.
Okay.
That's like more than 293,000 kilowatt hours a year.
Right. Okay.
On half hour. That has to go to a special section of, it's called reverse auction. They take your price and use it as a benchmark.
Right.
And it goes into an auction.
Okay.
So each of the suppliers...
And each of the suppliers bid against that, is that...
They back bid.
Okay.
And they undercut it.
Okay.
That's reverse auction.
Okay, and then they write you a contract for a specific period of time at that price.
Yeah.
Okay.
What made you go into this, Stephen? Why do you care?
It's the buzz of... I get the buzz of helping people.
So did you see something in the marketplace you thought, right, I'm gonna go into this? What was it that enticed you into that plot from going from...
Started back in 2005 when a lady got in my taxi, offered me a free phone number. I said, yeah, they're expensive. She says, no, they're not, 50p a week. Give you a soul. And anyway, she introduced me to the business. And I gave it a try, and then I got bored because I didn't succeed at it.
Right.
And
this was a utilities type business.
Yes, it was. Yeah. Yeah. Without giving them a free plug.
Yep.
And I tried again, and I failed again, and I just.
And when you say failed, you just couldn't make a living at it.
I couldn't make a living at it now.
This is interesting because I like failure. Failure to me is far more important than anything else. Yeah. People that succeed are boring. Mm. Failure is good stuff.
Yeah. Because you learn from your mistakes.
Exactly. Yeah. And you learn what doesn't work, and you know all kinds of things. Yeah. So, from your point of view, it wasn't working for you. What did you find was the crux of the problem?
Lack of support. Yep. The person that signed me up left the business, so I didn't have anybody to help me. And then I had a surrogate one, and then she got bored of me, dropped me.
Mm. So you didn't get the support you wanted from the business. The downstream, in terms of selling the services and things like that, how did you find that?
I signed customers up 2 weeks later. They get their prices through, and they cancel it.
Right.
And of course, I've been paid a commission and a clawback.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So but
I've learnt in commercial, don't always put the full amount down.
Right.
You have a little safety net.
Right.
So you put down less than what they should be using, and if they don't reach that what they are using, you don't get a clawback.
Right. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
I understand what you're saying. Okay.
That hurts.
Yeah. So you'd Presumably, your original foray into this was in the domestic marketplace. So, you worked for a little while in the domestic marketplace. It wasn't working for you. You lacked the support. So, where did you go from there?
I was what they call it now. Someone phoned you up, poached.
Headhunted.
Headhunted by a commercial energy broker. I got customers for them. Unfortunately, it was one of the bad energy brokers in the country.
Right.
And didn't pay me. Oh, they paid me twice. And since then, I resigned and I've got my own search engine now. And I've since found out that it's not just me they've done it to.
Right.
There's quite a few local consultants that have been through the same mill and still owed money.
Right.
Commission.
Not good.
Yeah.
So, again, there's some lessons to learn there, isn't there, about, you know, getting involved in things and checking out. I see I'm a great one with anything. When people tell me something, anything about a business, the first thing I do is I go and check all of their numbers. And I hear so many people tell big porcupines about their business or whatever, and I go and look, oh, no, you don't. You know, I've seen people claim they had million-pound turnovers when they don't.
I did the background check on them. Because I've been conned before.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we've all been conned, you know.
Yeah, of course.
The wall's been pulled over our eyes.
Because I had a guy, that said he was in Africa somewhere, and he told me he had 40 million quid that he wanted me to look after for him. Yeah? What's wrong with that, eh?
Where do you go for all of this? I've got no idea. This has never happened to me ever in my life.
Have you not?
Never, Mr. Andrews.
Have you never? I get them all the time.
No.
Yeah, 419 scams,
I've had them as well. Fake inland revenue.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, but that's just nonsense, isn't it?
Yeah. No, well, this was good. Yeah. No, it was legit. I just never got the money.
I actually know somebody turned one of those around.
Well, Joe Lycett, the comedian, does a really funny stand-up about turning things around. It was a lady called Gemma that was trying to flog a property. That was hilarious.
His other one was when he got a car park ticket. Did you see that
I saw
one?
That, yeah. That's
brilliant. Oh, yeah. Put from space. Because it didn't show the area or anything. It just the side of his car didn't prove a thing, did it?
No, exactly. All of those kind of things, that led you to looking at what you do now. Now, are you working with another organisation? Clearly, you're supplying through other organisations.
Yeah, I work with third parties now as the exact partner.
Right.
I don't work with...
So you're not with a kind of franchise operation, for want of a better term?
These are all individually supplied.
Yeah, that you've kind of built a relationship with.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, so it's your business, you're not part of a bigger business.
No, I'm independent.
You're an independent, you've made the contacts with the various suppliers and portals and stuff like that, so you're not beholden to anyone else.
No.
Yeah, okay.
And you're still taxiing as well?
I've had a little bit of a break because I've had age-related illnesses.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm going back soon. Don't worry.
But you felt that it was necessary to do both. That's what I love.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I get variety.
Yeah.
Mm. You know, someone gets in, you know they're a business person, you give them a 2-minute presentation.
He's using it as a say, he's got them trapped.
Yeah.
You get in the back of his cab and he locks the doors and he goes, right, we're electricity, brother, and you're not getting out until you bought something.
Yeah, you ever tried to see... You were trying to get out of a cab at 30 mile an hour for a business presentation.
But also, you can... I always reverse engineer that. I always ask them a question about maybe something in business.
Yeah.
That is, you've got a mentor for a very short amount of time that will share with them. And people like to talk, so you can...
Yeah, I know what I'm doing, but I always ask them, what do you do and why do you do it?
Mm.
Yeah. Mm. Get to know them. You've got to ask people about their business.
There's a saying, isn't there, that it's a shame that all the cabbies and hairdressers in the world are busy because they couldn't run the country otherwise.
Yeah, true.
Yeah.
I know that one.
Obviously, don't go to my hairdressers.
But it is true, isn't it? They're the kind of professions where you talk to people while you're working.
Yeah, but to be in business, it's whether you take notice of what they're saying as well.
Exactly.
A lot of people don't,
yeah, exactly.
And they don't use it as a platform to learn off of people.
Yeah, it's just superficial.
If someone wants to give you their time and their business knowledge, that's priceless. So you should take that, absorb it, and do something with it rather than just having a little...
You're absolutely right, and I guess this is Stephen's point as well. It's not necessarily just trying to flog something to somebody or buy something from somebody. You're basically talking to people about what they do, how they do it, or the things that concern them. That's good feedback.
Mm.
That's market knowledge. That's about starting to understand people. One of the problems I think we face in this country, especially politically at the moment, is nobody listens to anybody else. Everybody thinks they know the answers to everything, and nobody wants to listen to what anybody else is saying and try to understand why they're coming from where they come from. In my experience, nobody comes from a point of view just to be difficult. It's because they believe what they're coming from. Yeah, it's not because they're evil, nasty, stupid, or anything else. It's just their point of view.
Well, they believe their own hype, don't they?
Yeah. And everybody has a point of view. The task is to understand how. It's the question you asked me earlier, Bird. It's how do you see where they're coming from? What makes you understand their point of view? Yeah, and that's the key thing, and you do that by talking to people, don't you?
Mm.
Cool. So, Stephen, you've got an independent commercial brokerage business.
Yeah.
Are there limits to that? I mean, when we talk about commercial brokerage, how small, how large? I mean, presumably it could be open-ended from a size point of view. How small can you be?
Right down to micro business.
Yep.
Yeah, minimum 10,000 kilowatt hours.
Right. What does that translate into in real money? What's 10,000?
Say 12 months is about 40 quid commission.
Right.
Yeah, but
But I mean, in terms of kilowatt hours,
yeah.
I don't know. I mean, if I left the lights on in my office 24 hours...
Sorry. A micro business is like sort of like 2,000 to 4,000 a year.
Right, okay.
It's on a, you know, single light bulb office, you know, one telephone, one desktop.
Right. And that would be about 4,000 kilowatts.
Yeah,
4,000 hours per year.
Yeah. My smallest is about 10.
Okay, all right.
Yeah. But my largest I've done in the past was like 50,000.
Okay. So, and that's electricity. Do you have many gas contracts?
Not at the moment, I don't.
Yeah, because I guess unless you're a restaurant or something cooking on
hotels,
gas.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then
that's what you were saying.
I've visited.
Thing.
Yeah.
I've talked to restaurant owners and that, and the first answer that comes out of their mouth, I'm in contract, says, well, actually, you are in contract, but how do you know you're not getting ripped off?
Yeah.
Because I monitor your contracts on behalf of you.
Yeah. It's interesting. I'm thinking domestically now. I was looking the other day, and I was going through my bank statement just for the hell of it, and I said, that's a lot of money to pay for a month for gas. It was 243 quid or something.
Mm.
Blimey. And when I looked, I've been paying it for years, but once a year they send it all back. So I've been paying them, and then they pay it all back.
Yeah, it's they charge you in advance.
Yeah, exactly. And far too much. But I've never got round to doing a comparison or looking for anywhere cheaper or something. I did now, but yeah.
It's easier just to leave it, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, it's because normally we don't understand what we're doing, do we? No one knows how many kilowatts or how much for each one.
That's what the government want you to have these smart meters for.
Yeah.
The controversial smart meter.
Yeah. But you see, even the minister that introduced smart meters had his taken out.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I saw last week in the paper, the guy that introduced it had his own smart meters taken out because they didn't work.
Don't look good, does it?
He didn't watch them. What they're generally supposed to do is they're going to encourage you to switch off TVs, anything on standby, lights and that.
Freezer.
Yeah.
See, we've always... When I was younger, they said, keep it on standby.
Yeah.
You always had to because it was more used... It was more efficient.
Yeah.
But now it's all changed.
Mm.
Yeah, well, that's what it is. So every time you say something on there, your smart meter will go down.
Mm.
And
so visually you can...
Yeah, visually.
And then it
But
registers.
The only real saving is... The only real saving of a smart meter is is you get less estimated bills because they're remotely read by the company. By
they
the
used to come round and read your meters, didn't
yeah,
they?
Yeah, I know. But by doing it remotely, they don't need a meter reader.
So is it a good thing then, or
well,
not a good thing?
Just lost his job.
Mm.
They don't do that anyway, do they? I send them a reading.
That's what the smart meters do.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of controversy over them, though, because the original impetus behind it hasn't kind of lived up to the hype in a large number of ways. Because my old mum, bless her, had a smart meter put in, and then she changed supplier, and they went, no, we can't use that, it's the wrong kind of smart meter.
Yeah.
Really?
It's a waste of money, because that first generation... they're going to be out of date soon.
Second generation on the way.
Got to start all over again.
Yeah. It's easier just to read your own meter and send them the reading.
It's like someone said, it's like painting the fourth bridge.
Mm.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Stephen, thank you for that. Yeah. All power to you. If people want to find out about what you do, what's the best way of getting in contact with you?
You can go to my Facebook or follow me on Twitter, which is CBS for Kent.
So CBS4Kent on Twitter, and then all your email and contact details are on there, aren't they?
Yes, they are, yeah.
Cool. All right, Stephen, thank you so much for that. Do stay with us for the rest of the show, but for the moment, Stephen Connor of CBS for Kent. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Cool, good stuff.
Yep.
Good. I suppose we could start reading some emails.
I have got one.
Have you?
Yes.
I've heard that.
Speakers Platform. Be seen and be heard Wednesday the 12th of September, 6:30 till 9:30 in the evening. It's at a great place, Mr. Andrews. It's only at Fruitworks Co-working.
Is it? Blimey, what a place to have it.
So, are you a speaker?
I think I am.
Would you like to practice your speaking skills?
No.
Would you like to use your skills to win a competition, giving you the chance to improve your speaking and helping you to elevate yourself as a professional speaker? Then you should join the Speakers Platform on Wednesday the 12th of September. So the prize for the overall winner will be a one-to-one coaching from each of the judges. There are some dodgy judges, aren't there?
Are there?
There's Mr. Andrews.
Oh, yeah, I'm a judge.
So there's Paul Andrews. There's the former professional speaker, Jane Farn, director of the Great British Speakers, and the third judge will be announced soon. Entries must be submitted by the 31st of August. Guess where you've got to go to? www.worldwideweb, which is butterfliesbusinessevents.co.uk/ the Speakers Platform, but she won't be hearing it because she's in Bluewater spending your money.
She certainly is, yeah. They're watching Incredibles 2 about
also,
now.
Or so you think.
Yeah. They're probably in the shoe shop, really, aren't they?
There you go, and let's go shoe shopping.
But it's into the Speakers Platform is really... The reason that she came up with this as an idea is so many people have been saying to us recently, how do I get paid to speak? You know, I enjoy speaking, I enjoy public speaking, how do I get paid to do it? It's not easy. So she's come up with this concept of the Speakers Platform as a start point. So it's going to be really interesting, and this is the first one, we're looking forward to it.
I always think these things are good to test, to see, you know.
Yeah. Friday the 3rd of August, that'll be this Friday, won't it? 9:30 a.m. until 4:30 p.m. at the Business Terrace in Maidstone. There's a one-day business startup boot camp, and it'll be hitting Maidstone on Friday the 3rd of August. It'll be jam-packed day full of practical tips, tools and activities to help you get your business up and running. The Business Startup Boot Camp will be great for you if you're thinking of starting a business, have just started, or would like a bit of a refresher. You'll join a group of like-minded people on this course, which will help to build your network and knowledge. Who knows, you might even end up doing business with each other. All ages are welcome. You can click on the following link to find out more and to book your place. It's www.worldwideweb.businessinmaidstone.co.uk/events.
The Woman in Business lunch with speakers Kim Arnold, 5, and Jill Perry, OBE, former CEO of Anne Frank Trust. Lunch chaired by Emma Lydiard, who I love, MD of Heart Kent Radio, which is the 25th of September, Braybourne House, East Malling. You can go to, get ready for this, www.wibblywobblyway, which is kentwomeninbusiness.co.uk. It's a great lunch to go to. It's a great place to meet a lot of women in business, different women in business, actually. I've spoken with them a couple of times.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
We've had a tweet from Slope Off Friday.
Oh, good Lord.
Yeah, exactly. It says, running away, Business Bunker, Slope Off Friday, the next event is being held at the Little Ship, Kent.
Of course, you said that well.
Yeah, yeah.
Thank goodness.
With brilliant chef, Chef Craig Mather. Looking forward to hosting it on September the 7th, 2 p.m, Slope Off Friday. If you want to find out more, DM on Twitter. So Slope Off Friday is a Twitter handle. Send Jules a tweet if you want to get involved or find out what the menu is or
where. May the force be with you.
Exactly, yeah. So do check that out.
Good. Carsfromkent.com.
Your little fan club.
They don't even include you anymore, Vanilla West.
I noticed
How do you feel about that?
I saw the tweet and I was stacking up the tweets to read on the show and I couldn't find it and I thought, I'm sure I saw it and I was going back, I was always trying to look for it. And then I realised they hadn't addressed me, it was just you.
No.
I know, it's not good, is it?
Oh, it makes me chuckle. Anyway, hey, a bird on a bike, it says, could we have a Business Bunker shout out, please? Buy and sell your car locally. Here, guess how much?
£9.99.
It is. Until sold to sell on carsfromkent.com. Yeah. There you go, carsfromkent.com.
Yeah.
You're my favourite.
Absolutely. So it's £10. It's £10 to advertise your car, and there's no more to pay until the car's sold. Well, even when the car's sold.
And they don't even put you on there.
And they don't even mention me on there.
On the advert on
local
radio.
It's not good, is it?
It's not
good,
is
it? It's not good, is it?
They can't afford you, Paul.
Yeah, no, that's true.
What are you trying to say? They can afford me? Thanks very much, love.
Bird and a bike's cheap.
Anyway, do you know what we're going to do now?
I'd like to hear from the news.
Would you like to hear the news?
And weather.
And the weather.
Yeah.
Yeah, and some sport and some business. Well, we're going to join the Channel Radio newsroom right now. Here we go.
On the hour, Channel Radio News Update.